Last week, I was talking to somebody before I started giving the shiur, and I told him what I was going to be talking about the halachas of Peyos HaRosh, and he started asking me all sorts of questions about why Chassidim have curly Peyos and why some people put the Peyos behind their ears. And I started giving him what I knew based on my research, and it's someone who I'm pretty who's pretty comfortable with talking to me in a very not worried about being chutzpahdik or sounding chutzpahdik. So he said, you know, I know exactly what's going to happen. You're going to say the shiur, you're going to try to pack it all into 45 minutes, and then you're not going to get to half of the stuff that you wanted to talk about. So I said, you know what, you're right. I'm going to make it a two-part shiur. So last week we got to very little of what we really need to talk about in terms of what the halachos are of Peyos HaRosh. We give a lot of background, reasons for the mitzvah, who is chayiv in the mitzvah in terms of if a woman gives a haircut, if a child gets a haircut. So we got into a lot of that, but in terms of practically, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, what are the Peyos? What are you not allowed to cut off? And we just all shaved today for Lag BaOmer, and this was nogea as we look ourselves in the mirror and we try to figure out where can we cut, where can't we cut. So we began discussing it last week in terms of the less practical element, which is the highest point on the head, that you're not allowed to shave off, that you're not allowed to cut the hairs off entirely. And we pointed out last week that Rav Belsky in his Sefer quotes a machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch is very unclear, very vague about what he means when he talks about the highest point. He says against the forehead or corresponding to the forehead, not exactly clear what he means by that. So Rav Belsky pointed out that there were two basic masoras that he was aware of. One is where starting on the top from where hairlines tend to recede, in a curve down to the highest point of the hairline on top of the ear. So anywhere up there can't be shaved off. Anywhere from that line below can't be shaved off. And the other masora is when the hair goes down a little bit, the lights were off last week at the end, so when the hair goes down a little bit, then it takes a sharp turn in toward the sideburn, so it would be right at that point, and it would go until where the ear connects to the head on the top, and that would obviously be a much smaller area for the top of the head. Very hard to do without visual aid, but that's the basic idea in terms of the highest point. The lowest point is somewhat more interesting and more noge lemaisa. And the lowest point, meaning how long, and when I say long at this point in the shear, I'm not talking about how long the hairs have to be, the individual hairs have to be. They could be, a chassid could have curly peyos that go all the way down to his shoulders, but still may not be in fulfillment of the halacha of peyos. I'm talking about where on the head the hairs are growing out of, where the roots of the hair are. I mean, you could have curly peyos, but they're growing out of here, up here, right above the ear, and if you don't have something, hair growing right next to the ear, you're probably not fulfilling the mitzvah of peyos. So when I say length now, I'm not talking about the length of the hair, I'm talking about how far down on the head the hair still needs to be growing out of. And the in this area, at least my experience was growing up, that what I was always told is very different than what the Shulchan Aruch says. And it bothered me a lot, and I did some research to try to figure out what the source of what I was always told as a child really is. And thank God I found that there is, in fact, a source for it. But I was always told as a little kid, when you go to get a haircut, tell the barber, don't cut past the bone. Right, so the bone, which is sticks out right here, I'm not a doctor, I don't know exactly which bone that is, it's been a long time since I took any biology classes, but that bone,
temporal
right?
Bone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's say again?
Temporal.
The temporal bone, okay. So right until the temporal bone, you're a dentist. You have to know that too. Okay, the temporal bone is where you can cut until, and no higher, but you can cut as short as the temporal bone. That's what I was always told to tell the barber when I went to get a haircut. That's, and my experience by speaking to other people is that apparently a lot of other people are told the same thing. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 18, so he says, Shir HaPeya, the shir of the peya is, so he starts from the top of the peya, mikineget seir sha'al padachto, which we said we weren't sure exactly what that means, what the high point is. But then what does he say the low point is? Viad lamata min ha'ozen. It has to go till beneath the ear. Lamata min ha'ozen means literally under the ear. Now, what in the world does that mean? Meaning that sounds like you need sideburns that literally go down all the way to the end of your ear, and you're not allowed to cut them any shorter than that. Now, that's quite a chumrah. There are lots and lots and lots of people that don't have that don't have sideburns that go that far down. So Rabbi Yehuda Zilber in his Tshuvas, in Tshuvas Oz Nidbru, tries to temper it a little bit. He sort of limits it a little bit, and he writes, no, when he talks about the Lamata Mina Ozen, he says the entire ear is not halachically considered the ear. So the ear lobe doesn't have any cartilage in it, it's just soft flesh, and therefore it doesn't count as part of the ear, so the sideburns only need to go to the bottom of the cartilage part of the ear, not all the way down to the bottom of the ear. And in fact, one of my first days in Rav Shechter's Shir, when I was in YU, Rav Shechter mentioned a tshuva from Rav Meir Arik in the Imre Yosher, and I haven't found the tshuva yet. The truth is, I didn't really look that hard for it. But there's a tshuva in the Imre Yosher, apparently Rav Shechter quoted, I remember he quoted many years ago, that brings a raya to this idea that the ear lobe doesn't count as part of the ear from the Gemara in Kiddushin. What does the Gemara in Kiddushin talk about payas? It doesn't talk about payas at all. The Gemara in Kiddushin talks about freeing, not freeing, talks about an Eved Ivri who wants to stay on after his term of Avdus is over. So what do? We take him to the doorpost and we pierce his ear. Now, I always thought, where do you pierce the ear? So before you learn the Gemara, you would always think the earlobe. That's where normal piercings are, although nowadays people have piercings all over the place, but you know, normal, regular piercing that we normally think of is in the earlobe. The Gemara says otherwise. The Gemara says, first of all, it has to be on the right ear, but the Gemara also says the piercing has to be on the cartilage part of the ear, on the upper part of the ear, not the bottom part of the ear. Says Rav Meir Arik in the Imre Yosher that you see from that Gemara, why is the bottom part of the ear not good? Why is the earlobe not kosher for the piercing? Because it's not the ear. Halachically, it's not considered the ozen. It's considered something that's hanging down from the ozen, but it's not actually part of the ear. And only things that are part of the ear are kosher for doing the piercing of the Eved Ivri. And therefore, Rav Meir Arik, in line with Rav Binyamin Zilber Paskins, says that when the Shulchan Aruch says, Lamata Mina Ozen, he means to where the cartilage ends, not to where the ear lobe ends. So you say, okay, that makes it a little bit better. Still, I would say 80% of Orthodox Jews would still be in violation of the halacha, something like that, if, I didn't take a poll, but a good number of people do not have sideburns that go down. And again, I'm not talking about length of hair, sideburns. It has to be, you know, the roots that are unshaved going down all the way to the bottom of the cartilage part of the ear. So I was wondering where this came from, where this idea came from, that you can cut all the way as high as the bone. It's very hard to say lamata min ha'ozen means anything really toward that area, toward the top part of the ear. So what the Shulchan Aruch does not seem to say you can go as high as the bone. But then I came across a tshuva in one of my favorite svarim, the Shalos Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi. It's one of my favorite svarim because the author is the only major rabbinic personality that I'm aware of that has the same first and middle name as I do. So I always it always spoke to me, this sefer. So it's the tshuvas of Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer was a Rosh Yeshiva in Chachmei Lublin. He was known as the Kashuk Lover Gaon, and he was a very, very big-time Talmud Chacham, and he has a set of Shalos Tshuvas, three volumes, called Eretz Tzvi, not to be confused with Rav Shechter's Sefer, which is Eretz HaTzvi. Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi quotes the Eretz Tzvi once or twice, but different Sefer. So the Kashuk Lover Gaon writes in his Tshuvos that he doesn't think, he says, I know what the Shulchan Aruch says, if you look at it in source number 20, he says, Ba'os dalut kasafti lahashir peos ad emtsa ha'ozen. He says, I paskin that your peos only have to go till the middle of the ear. Now that's significantly higher, that's a lot closer to the bone than the than what the Shulchan Aruch says. Ha'amnam ki b'Shulchan Aruch yardeo simon kuf pe'alef tishira peos ad l'mata min ha'ozen. He says, "La'nias daiti tzarchiim gadol." He says, "I know what the Shulchan Aruch says. I know the Shulchan Aruch says it has to go to the bottom of the ear." He says, "But I don't agree. I think it's a big tzarchiim where the Shulchan Aruch got that from." He says, "You have to look at the earlier sources." Ki ama'ayin betur ubeis Yosef sham yirileinayim de'ein shum de'ol lahachmer kolkach. He says, "If you look at the earlier sources, there doesn't seem to be anybody that's quite so machmir." V'su. D'makom chibur halechi letzadayim bechlal peos hazakon hu lekaladeos, where the jaw connects to whatever it is the jaw connects to over here, is already considered the peos. The peos hazakan, that's considered one of the peos of your beard. The peos hazakan can't be the same place as the peos harosh. Peos harosh are the ends of your head hair, not the ends of your beard hair. So it can't literally mean lamata menozen, because lamata menozen, you're already definitely in peos hazakan territory. Okay, fine. So he says, so why do I think that midpoint of the ear is where the peos harosh end? So he says, think about it. What does a peah mean? Peah means a corner, means an end, right? So it's the peos harosh have to be not just stam hair, it means where the head hair ends and the beard hair begins. It's the very end of the head hair, right before the beard hair begins. Now, how do you define what that line is? Most people, when they grow a beard, the head hair runs very smoothly into the beard here. So I was talking to a friend of mine, Rabbi Shmuley Marcus, in the Beis Medrash last week, and I asked him if he had any good Mar Makomos on Peis. And he said that he once asked Rabbi Bleich from YU if he knew anything about what the bottom shear is. And Rabbi Bleich said that when he was learning the Torah Vadas, he asked Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky, Zichron Levracha, what the shear of Peis are. And Rabbi Yankov pointed to a different Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva, I don't know who it was, who apparently had I don't remember which direction it was, either a white beard and red hair, I guess it was a white beard and red hair, makes sense, the beard goes white before the hair, I discovered over... I'm sorry?
I think that the beard gets whiter before the...
So the beard, yeah, as I discovered this... This past sphere period for the first time, I found some white hairs. But so apparently the beard goes white before the rest of the hair. So Rabbi Yankov pointed, he said, "You see that Rosh Shiva right there?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "You see where his hair turns from red to white?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's where it is. That's the end of the peah." Where did he get that idea from? He seems to be saying the same thing as the Kashuv Glover. He said Rabbi Bleich found it weird. Like, what kind of shear is that? But that's exactly what the Kashuv Glover is saying. It's exactly where the hair... the head hair ends and the beard hair begins. Another good way, the way Rabbi Belsky puts it, is that you have very often the consistency of the beard hair is different than the head hair. The hair on my head is long and long because it's grown longer, but it's smooth. It grows out very straight, whereas the beard hair grows a little fluffier. So you can tell on your head where the beard hair begins. Like on my peos, I was looking before, I spent a lot of time preparing for this shiur looking in the mirror, but I was looking that the hair that's clearly head hair ends right about here, and then beneath that part of my peos is certainly regular beard hair, not head hair. So that would be the sheet of the kashuv glover, and that's what seems to be the basis of the idea of the bone, that the bone is roughly halfway down the ear. Now, not everyone's face is constructed exactly the same way, and sometimes a little higher, some people have ears a little higher, a little lower, the bone is a little higher, a little lower, but that's the basic idea. It's roughly halfway.
So when he passes about the bone, the bone is some...
He doesn't say the bone, he says halfway.
No, but it could be the top of the bone or the bottom. It seems to imply the bottom of the bone.
Right, that's what it would seem to imply, yeah. That it shouldn't be right above the bone, it should be right beneath the bone. Right, and shouldn't be on it, should be right beneath the bone. That's what he would seem to imply.
Right above the bone is a major artery, the temporal artery.
Oh, really? Okay.
And
so you don't want to mess with that anyway.
You feel the pulse. If you feel it yourself, you feel the pulse.
Right.
So that would be a good reason not to.
What about the upper part of the cheek, which is really part of the beard?
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second, the upper part of the cheek.
Really hairy.
Right. For the strays. We're going to get to the stray hairs that often... come into the picture. Now, the truth is, if you think about the width of peis, let's assume for a minute that you have to leave the entire width, however much it is. The lower you go, the wider you're going to go also, right? The closer you come to Elvis, right? If you stay pretty high up, so it's pretty narrow when you're higher up. But then, if you're going to go literally to the bottom of the ear, I was looking this morning as I was shaving, if you can go to the bottom of the ear, then you're really going to have... one of the Rebbeim in YU, Rabbi Simon, has very long sideburns that go all the way out because he's matpid till I assume, I never asked him, but I assume it's because he's makbid all the way till, like the Shulchan Aruch says, lamata mina ozen, and he doesn't shave anywhere across the lamata mina ozen area, which we're going to discuss in a second, whether that's a chumra or that's actually halachically required. Now, let's discuss it right now. How wide does it have to be? How can you thin it out to just a thin strand going down? Or does it have to be a certain width? Or do you just have to leave the entire width? So the Shulchan Aruch sounds like you're not allowed to do anything to it. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, back in source number 18, he writes, the kol rochav makom zeh, toward the end of that line, he says, the kol rochav makom zeh, the entire width of this area, lo sigabo yad, the hand cannot touch it, meaning leave it alone. Right? Sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is saying that you literally shouldn't touch it. You shouldn't remove any hairs from that area. In fact, Rikvi Eger is quoted in Chasam Sofer discusses in the Tshuva about Rabbi Kivei Gershita. Rabbi Kivei Gershita is quoted as having said that you can, and Rabbi Kivei Gershita himself says it in his Chidushim on Shas, in the Gilyon HaShas, on the side of the Gemara, Mesech HaShvus, and Daf Beis Amid Beis, and we're not going to look at all the sources inside, but trust me, it's there, and he says that you're not even allowed to comb the hairs on the payas, because if you comb them, much like combing hair on Shabbos, where you're worried about a psik resha that it's going to pull out hairs, and you're going to be in violation of Shabbos, so Rabbi Kivei Gershita says the same thing about payas. They're going to comb that area, and the hairs from your payas are going to come out. So all the other achronim rejected this. They all said, "Nah, that's already taking it a little too far." First of all, they all point out and that there's the sheet of the Rambam. Rambam sheet is how wide do your payas have to be? 40 hairs worth. Any more than 40 hairs, you can cut right off. You're only not allowed to have it 40 hairs worth. That's that, but other than that, you can cut right off. It's not a problem. So first you have the Shitas HaRambam. Second of all, really it's a psik resha that if you comb the hair and a hair that's partially removed already, that's going to come off with a stroke of a brush, is really going to be an isser of being makif peos harosh. It's already falling out, so it's very difficult to accept the Shita of Rabbi Kivei Gershita. And really the main taina they have in Rabbi Kivei Gershita is what Chasam Sofer writes, which is, I've seen many people from the generation above us, meaning from the previous generations, that were not makbid about this. That nobody was really makbid about something like that. He thought that was an excessive chumra. And the contemporary poskim also point out that we seem to reject that chumra. Now, what about stray hairs? So I came across Rashi in Maseches Makos, or Daf Chaf, has a strong implication that when he defines what the peos harosh are, he defines the peos harosh are where the beard connects to the head, to the hair on your head, right? Now, to me that means, and I think this a number of poskim say this as well, I'll explain in a second, but to me that means that if it's not one of the connecting hairs between the beard and the head, it's just some growing in the middle of your cheek somewhere, it's just it's a stray hair off to the side, then that's not the definition of peya. Peos harosh means that it's the corner where it connects to the beard. If it's not one of the hairs that connects directly into the beard, it would not be part of the peos harosh. Again, that's my own diuk in Rashi, but Rabbi Shmuley Marcus again told me that he asked Rabbi Bleich about this as well, and Rabbi Bleich told him that he thinks it's a davar pashut that you're allowed to cut off the stray hairs, that you're allowed to shave off the stray hairs. And he said, because if you don't say that, then where are you going to draw the line? Say a person has hair growing on his nose. So you're not going to be allowed to cut it off because he's got to go all the way across? I mean, that's you're going to call that peos harosh? A person has eyebrow hair. It's not allowed to, you know, take that off. That's peos harosh. Because if you go across, right, the peos harosh start all the way up here. So you can go across. So the eyebrows are included in the peos harosh? No, the eyebrows are obviously a different set of hair. It's not considered part of the peos harosh. It has to be along the same continuous growth. That would be considered the peos harosh. Anything more would not be considered the peos harosh. So I think that's the standard psak halacha. So anyway, in terms of leaving the width, the Shulchan Aruch says l'sigo bo yad. It's not abundantly clear that he means that you're never allowed to thin it out at all. It's possible that he would agree with the Rambam that it's only 40 hairs width. So some people will be willing to thin out their peos. Others relying on the Rambam. Others would not, based on the sheet of the Smag, which says that you cannot do it, and the Pasha Lashon L'Shulchan Aruch, which seems like you cannot do it. But yesh v'yesh, there's certainly viable deos and rishonim in both directions in that area. Now the trickiest part is the length of the hairs, meaning you want to go get a haircut. So someone's telling me they like to get a 0, they like to get a 1, a 1.5, you know, numbers on the machines. If you get, it's only no gay for people who like to cut their hair short. If you don't like to cut your hair very short, if you don't use a machine, you just get a cut with a barber, then for sure it's okay, right? But exactly how long does each hair have to be? Meaning up until this point, we discussed how far down on the head it has to grow from. But now that you know where it's growing from, how long do the individual hairs have to be? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't give a shear for this. Neither do the Rishonim, really. So it's very difficult to really know what to make of anything. The Rambam is the only one that really gives an explicit shear, because the Rambam says it can be as short as you want, as long as you don't use a razor. Meaning the Rambam holds, there's two things. There's something called shaving off your hair with a tar, with a razor, with a blade, and that's for sure usur. You're not allowed to cut off the peos hazaka nor the peos harosh with a tar. But just like by the peos hazaka, by the beard hairs, we paskin that misparayim ke'ein tar is good, is okay, that you're allowed to use scissors even if it cuts ke'ein tar, or cuts close like a razor would cut, but it's scissor action. It's not a single blade cutting, it's two blades cutting, and this is a shear that's far beyond the scope of our shear tonight, which is the whole issue of electric shavers and whether the lift and cuts have a din of tar or misprime kain tar, and whether the bronze have a din of tar. A whole different topic, but let's assume pasha pshat, misprime kain tar means scissors that can cut just about as close as a razor can. So such cutting on the beard, we know, is okay, is mutter. The Rambam holds, it's also mutter on the peos harosh. That if you have a machine, a trimming machine that has two blades that go back and forth like this, you can cut off your peos, that's fine. That's not going to be a problem. That's the shitas haRambam. Now, in fact, the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Tosfos and the Rush disagree with the Rambam. They say no. Whereas by the beard, misparayim kein tar, on beard hair is going to be mutter. On head hair, on the peos harosh, misparayim kein tar is not okay. You can't cut it off, no matter what kind of kli you're using to cut off the peos harosh. You're not allowed to cut off the peos harosh entirely, say Tosfos and the Rush. Now, how do we paskin lahalacha? Again, Tosfos and the Rush do not define how long you have to leave it. They just say you can't cut it off. They don't say how long it has to be. So how do we paskin the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch, if you look in Kuf Pei Aleph Siv Gimel, which is in source number 29, says the Shulchan Aruch, Einu chayav ela b'ta'ar. You're only going to be chayav for the peos harosh if you use a razor. Sounds like the Rambam. Then he quotes, V'yesh osrim v'misprayim ke'ein tar. But there are those who would say that it's us or even to use scissors that cut as close as a razor. And I think we need to be concerned with those who say it's aser. Shulchan Aruch generally tries to stick with the Rambam. So when the Rambam goes against everybody else, the Stam Lashon will be like the Rambam. But then he'll tell you, but still you should be concerned with the other opinion. Now, what does he really hold? If you had to back him up against the wall and say to Rav Yosef Cairo, what do you really think? I mean, you're giving me two shittos and telling me, yesh lachush, I should be concerned for those who are machmir. What do you really hold, though? So there's a Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva discusses a case of an earlier Tshuva of someone who had apparently regularly cut off his payas with misparayim ke'entar, with some type of cutting utensil, not a razor. But he had regularly cut off his payas, and he didn't know there was anything wrong with it. And then someone told him, you know, that could be a problem. And he wanted to know, how do I do tshuva for this avera? And the answer he got, the Darkei Tshuva quotes, is how do you do tshuva? You don't have to do tshuva. Because really, the Shulchan Aruch holds that the Rambam is correct. Really, it's only an issue of cutting off your payas if you can use a razor to cut off your payas. It's just that he wants to be choshesh for the other Rishonim. But b'diyeved, when you're already, for what you did in the past, in terms of doing tshuva, when you were doing it b'shogeg, when you were b'shogeg relying on the Rambam, which Shulchan Aruch really holds is correct, so you don't need tshuva for something like that. So apparently, according to the Darkei Tshuva, what does Shulchan Aruch really hold in his heart of hearts? He really holds like the Rambam. He really holds that as long as you're not using a razor, you can cut off your pays. But you shouldn't do that. You should be choshesh for the shita of Tosfos and the Rush. Right? So that's how the that's what seems to be the halacha, that we have to be concerned for the shita of the Tosfos and the Rush. Now, keep in mind, remember I told you a story last week of someone who desperately wanted to shave his head for whatever reason. He was embarrassed to walk around with hair, with his hairline the way it was. All he wanted to do was shave his head. And I said that there were a number of kulas we put together to allow him to get, perhaps, in the situation of someone who would not be willing to get a number two haircut, which would leave a substantial amount of hair, to maybe allowing him to get something less than that. Now, heter number one, the first thing, the heter begins with the Shulchan Aruch, right? It begins with the fact that the Shulchan Aruch really holds like the Rambam. So really, even if he got a zero, according to the Rambam, he hasn't violated anything. Now, Darkei Tshuva said b'diyeved, when it comes to doing tshuva, you don't have to do tshuva for it, but he would never suggest going forward to cut off your pay as Ms. Brian Gaintar using some sort of machine, right, a scissor action machine. He would never suggest it going forward. But maybe if we can combine that with a few other shitos, maybe we could have some sort of heter b'shas adchak if someone is really pushing for a heter and is not going to listen to what we would suggest l'chadchila. So what do I mean by that? As I mentioned, none of the Rishonim who say that you need to leave hair discuss how long the hair you need to leave has to be. But there are a couple of places in Halacha where length of hair is discussed. You have, for instance, length of hair is discussed, we know, when it comes to Shtei Saros. A person is considered a gadol when they grow Shtei Saros and they have two pubic hairs. So what's a hair? What do you consider a hair? What's not a hair? You have length of hair discussed by a Nazir. That a Nazir has an Isser of being Megaleach his hair, and then he has a mitzvah of being Megaleach his hair at the end of his Nazirus, right? He has to shave off all the hair on his head. So what's called Giluach? What kind of hair has to be left for him to get the mitzvah of Giluach? How long does the hair have to be? And then you have another unusual Maramakom, which is the Rambam discusses about a Para Aduma. The halach is that if you have a Para Aduma that's all red, but two of its hairs are black or white, then it passes it from being a paraduma. If it has shtei saros that are black or white. Now, how long are these hairs? So in those other locations, it's either often a Gemara, Mishnah, or at least in the Rishonim, that tell you how long the hairs have to be. So for instance, by the Nazir, the halacha is, the Gemara makes it very clear, it has to be enough, k'dei lachuf rosha li'ikaro. It has to be long enough that you can bend the hair over toward its root. Bend the end of the hair over toward its root. If the hair is long enough to do that, then that's long enough for hair. Now, many of the Achronim say, that's got to be the shear for pays then. It has to be k'dei lachuf rosha li'ikaro. These are Rav Belsky Paskins. It's, I think, Rav Sternbach also Paskins this way. That has to be the shear. We don't know of any other shear. So it's most logical that it's k'dei lachuf rosha li'ikaro. Not Rav Sternbach, because Minchas Yitzchak says this way, Diane Weiss. That it has to be, it's k'dei lachuf rosha li'ikaro. However, that's not necessarily 100% glat that has to be the case. When it comes to the Para Aduma, for instance, right? The Rambam writes, how long do those two white hairs, or two black hairs of the Paraduma have to be to ruin the whole Paraduma? So the Rambam says, long enough that you can grab it with a tweezer. Now, long enough to grab it with a tweezer is extremely short. It does not have to be long at all to be able to grab it with a tweezer. Certainly does not have to be long enough to be able to bend. So I shaved this morning, I could probably grab some of my hairs with a tweezer already. Right? So it certainly doesn't have to be long enough to bend the Rosh Ikaro to be able to grab it with a tweezer. So it's possible, at least, that when we talk about leaving hair, it means leaving any hair, anything that would be constitute hair in any halacha. So it's possible, at least, that even hair that could be grabbed with a tweezer would be long enough. Now, I haven't seen a single posek that says that, in all honesty, or at least that says so explicitly. And I have seen poskim, as I mentioned, that say you need k'dei lachuf rosha li'ikaro, which is also a tough trick. It depends, you know, does that mean that you have to be able to bend the top of the hair back down to your face? Or does it mean that you have to literally get it right on the root to fold it in half? So the poskim point out, and Ravelsky also writes this, that he says the good way to tell is if you can grab it with your fingers. If you can grab it with your fingers, then it's enough. Obviously, what you can grab with your fingers and what you can grab with a tweezer are very different. So he says, if you can grab it with your fingertips, that's long enough. So he says, if you get a number two haircut, you can usually grab it with your fingers, and that's fine. He suggests getting no less than number three, just to be on the safe side. I don't know if all machines, you know, if number two always means the same thing on every machine, and number, so I don't know if they're all, but that's, so the real shear shouldn't be a number, because, you know, you could have a different machine, but I would say that, but that's what they say, as long as you can grab it with your fingers. Now, again, it's not. No one says that beferish. It doesn't. The Gemara says it regarding nazir. No one says it beferish. It doesn't say in any rishonim. I should say beferish in regards to hair of the payas. In fact, if you look in the Bir Halacha in the underlined section in source number 33, what does the Mishnah Berurah write? Ubavonosenu arabim matzui shemavirin esapeos ad samuch lebesaron mamish. The Bir Halacha laments the fact that in our many sins nowadays we find that people cut their payas till samuch lebisaron mamish, till literally close to the flesh. Ve'in mishayrin klal, and they leave nothing. That's his problem, they leave nothing. Ve'yesh b'zeh chashash daraisa, and that's a chashash that perhaps it's an issa daraisa. Why isn't it a definite daraisa? Because you always have the shita sarambam, that if you didn't use a razor, it's okay. So it's at least a chashash daraisa. V'hayulahem l'shayer, I'll call upon him, they should at the very least leave what? Ktsas mina ktsas. Very, very little. What do you do with that? What does very, very little mean?
So it's not a number.
Right, he doesn't give a number, but he said very, very little. Does very, very little mean, like we said before, enough to grab with your fingers? Or is that already more than very, very little? Meaning he's, what?
If it's visible.
Ah, so I would have thought exactly what Binyamin's saying, that if it's visible, or you could feel it, meaning you can get your fingernail under it, something like that, right? That it's something that's definitely there, that's very clearly there, in which case we have our second kula, right? Our first kula was shitas harambam, that if you only use a razor. Our second kula is the lashon of the Bir Halacha, although he's trying to be machmir over here, but the lashon that he uses, that you have to leave al kolpan ktsas min ktsas, as opposed to that ein mishayrin klal, as opposed to nothing, you need to leave something. And he says that might be good enough. So that would be the second tzad lahakel. There's a prisha that has a lashon like that as well. Now it's in that story last week that I told you, I gave the guy these marmakomos. I gave him the Rambam, I gave him this lashon of the Bir Halacha, and that's what he was able to tell the fellow who lambasted him in the store in front of everybody. He was able to say, look, I got a number one. I didn't get a number two. You're right. I don't have enough kedei lacha frosh ali karo, but I got a number one. So according to the Rambam, I'm vaday fine. There's no problem. And even if you don't say like the Rambam, even if you're going to hold like Shulchan Aruch suggests we hold, but I don't know that the definition of a hair means a number two. Definition of a hair might just mean anything that's visible or anything you can get your fingernail on under. I remember seeing a marmakom once about catching the fingernail under the hair. Also, the Gemara Nazir talks about such a shear, but I remember seeing a marmakom like that in regards to Peos HaRosh. I just don't remember. I couldn't find it when I was preparing the shear. So it could be that you have such a shear like that, and that would be good enough. So anyway, so that's the hetter we came up with. Now, what about all the chumras? So those are, meaning we just went through how makel you can possibly be if you were really looking for kulas. Traditionally, throughout history, Jews were not really looking for kulas in this area. These were areas where, for whatever reason, we were really looking for chumras in. And that's why you have chassidim who walk around with exceptionally long payas, curly long payas that go down to their shoulders. You have in yeshiva shabachrim that have payas, the big brisker payas that grow out of the side of their heads, and others that just have payas that go behind their ears, which also are very much longer than anyone would tell you they really need to be. So where does that come from? Why would we be extra machmir dafka in this area? So the truth is, if you read the Rambam, you can't come up with any reason. The Rambam is very strong about giving big kulas in terms of the halachos of payas. In a tshuva, the Rambam writes that there's no mitzvah to grow hair. There's an iser to cut the hair off. There's no mitzvah to grow the hair. So as long as you don't cut the hair off all the way, you haven't violated anything. Of course, the Rambam holds even as long as you don't cut it with a razor, you haven't violated anything. But even if you don't want to say like the Rambam in terms of the razor, the Rambam holds, where's the mitzvah to grow the hair? There's no mitzvah to grow hair long. There's a mitzvah not to. There's an isser not to cut it off. However, there are sources that seem to suggest otherwise. The Yamshel Shlomo says that it's best never to cut them. I saw in the Sefer last week that they told the Maisa that the Marsham, when he was a little boy, he was brought to the Chassidish Rebbe, and the Rebbe told him that his grandfather was makbid never to cut his payas his entire life, and he told the Marsham, when the Marsham was a little boy, you should have the same hakpada as your grandfather. So there was this hakpada that people had, never to cut hair. The Yamshel Shlomo just says logically, he says, as what we said before, Lakula, that no one gives a shear how long the hairs have to be. So he said, so Mastama, as long as it exists, as long as there's any hair, it's good enough, right? So Yamshel Shlomo says the opposite. He says, no one gives a shear how long it has to be. So Mastama, don't mess with it. Don't touch it, because you never know. It might have to be as long as you can grow them. So better not to touch it at all. Okay, so that's a basis for such an idea.
The same Hasidim who talk about their minhagim of growing it long and curly, etc., etc., some of them shave the rest of the head.
Right. Well, they are careful to leave
here.
Right, which is all they need to for the peos. The rest of the head you're allowed to shave. You're only not allowed to shave the peos harosha. We define the area of the peos. That's fine on the sides of the head. Up.
Well, in the old days, I think that was all done with a razor. And the razor, I thought you couldn't use anything.
No, you can't use a razor on any area that might be a suffix of a place where one of the peos are. So the peos hazakan, we don't know the location.
It's only that.
Right, we don't know the location of the peos hazakan. So I very often get a shaila. People like to shave their necks with a razor, right? Because some people with the Adam's apple, it's very difficult, or the hair is very coarse, or for whatever reason, they like to shave the necks with a razor. They always ask if it's that's a shaila I get frequently. Now, if you could be certain that you're shaving on an area that's not one of the peos harosh, then it's fine. The problem is it's not fine because we can't be certain of that. At least my reading of the Shulchan Aruch is we cannot be certain that the area under the chin is not one of the peos harosh, because the Shulchan Aruch says the area under the chin is one of the areas that you have to be careful about. But I don't want to get into peos hazaka now. Maybe we'll leave that as a different shear.
If you don't hold up the Rambam Shita that you can use anything, so how would you then cut your peos if you can't use anything?
You use a... No.
You can't use anything.
You can't. Again, the Rambam Shita is you only are not allowed to use a razor. You're allowed to use something else to cut them off entirely. If you don't hold like the Rambam, just don't cut them off entirely. Right? Don't cut your payas off entirely. Just cut them short.
See them use, they burn it off when they want to cut it.
They won't want to put any blade on it.
They use fire, yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay. I guess that's an extra chumrah. Another chumrah. I wasn't even aware of that chumrah. There are a few poskim, the Deborah Tziner in his Chuvus Ber Moshe, the Shalosh Chuvus Torah Lishma, on the Sephardic side of things, that say that having long payas is a hidur mitzvah. And why is it a hidur mitzvah to have long payas? I don't think to have nice trimmed payas should be a hidur mitzvah, to have beautiful payas. But no, why is it a hidur mitzvah? Because you have to think back to last week's shiur. What's the whole idea of the mitzvah of payas is to distinguish a Jew physically, that you look at a person and you can tell that's a yid, that's someone who has a haircut that's the exact opposite of the haircut of the Avdei Avodah Zarah. So if it's there to distinguish him physically, so the more distinguishable he is, then the greater the hidur in the midst of payas. However, they do quote, a lot of the Achronim, the Deborah Tziner has in the Tshuva, and a lot of the Achronim quote from the Arizal, that the Arizal held that if once it's growing past the face, it's not even considered payas anymore. Meaning once it's hanging down that far, you might as well cut it right off because it's not considered payas anymore and you shouldn't grow it that long. Now, I don't know, you know, who accepts that, who doesn't accept it, but it's out there. That sheet, Alpi Kabbalah at least, is out there. And Deborah Tziner uses this in a tshuva where he was asked by the father of a boy who had extremely long payas. Now, he writes in the tshuva, the father was a very firm guy himself, and the father had payas behind his ears. But the boy grew such long payas well past his shoulders, and he never trimmed them or brushed them. Or he had every chumra you could imagine, he kept with these payas. And the boy was already of marriageable age, and the father came came complaining to the Deborah Tziner. He said, I don't know what to do. I can't get him a shidduch. I speak about all of his milas and how from he is and what a wonderful guy he is and how smart he is. And I get the girl's side to come so that the girl will come meet him. And she takes one look at him and that's it and it's done. She doesn't want to take a second look because he looks like a freak. He looks nuts. So she doesn't want to, so I can't find him a shidduch. And the girl doesn't want to sound not frum. So what does the girl say? She doesn't say he looks nuts. She says, I can't imagine he's going to be able to make a parnasa to support me in the real world if he walks around looking like that. Whatever the taina is, they can't find a shidduch for the guy. So Deborah Tziner says that the guy has no right, the kid has no right to hold his father back from doing the mitzvah of being Masias Beno, of marrying off his son. One of the chiyuvim a father has toward his son is to find him a wife, is to marry him off. And the child, because of his chumras, is going to hold the father back from his requirement. He has no right to do that. And he goes on and he says, Al pi halacha, there's no reason to have him that long. Al pi kabbalah, the Arizal, there's no reason to have him that long. So he says, the father didn't even ask him to cut them. He just asked him to put them under the yarmulke, behind his ears, something like that. Just put it around his ears a few times. Something. But the kid didn't want to do it. So Deborah Tziner said that the kid is definitely in the wrong. Someone sent me a newspaper article that appeared in one of the Israeli newspapers in the winter of 2005, Tafshin Samachay, which had a psak halacha from, it was a big news story. That Rav Eliyahu Barzel, a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, had paskined that yeshiva bachrim, when it comes time to find a shidduch, are allowed to cut their payas a little shorter. They don't have to have a big long payas when it comes time to find a shidduch, because it can be difficult to find a shidduch that way. And that was his experience. It's not such a big news story, right? Meaning, of course, if you can't find a shidduch because of such, you don't put off the mitzvah of pur ravun, of getting married, because you want to keep an excessive chumrah when it comes to payas. Now, obviously, in yeshivas, a lot of people keep chumras. It's wonderful. It's great to keep such a chumrah. You have to be very careful, as with any chumrah, you have to be very careful that it not encroach on any halacha. Just a couple of more things. The curly payas, the poskim discuss, in terms of a few Hilcha Shabbos related issues. So let's say a Hasidish guy has long curly payas and he goes to the mikveh, right? So now he's got to worry about schita on the hair. If he touches the hair while it's soaking wet, he's going to be soaked water right out of his payas. That's one Hilcha Shabbos problem. Another is, very often people with long payas, you know, just play with them constantly, and as a result he's likely going to pull hairs out of his payas on Shabbos. So that's another issue to be aware of. And the post can point out, the Shmir Shabbos points out, another issue is curling the payas. A lot of times they curl them around their fingers to get it that real nice kishmaka curl, that it should look nice. Well, the halacha is, the isser of bona is related to the hairs on the head. The Gemara associates the malacha of bona, of building, you wouldn't associate it yourself, but the Gemara darshan is a pasuk by Chava, whatever, that it's associated with the hairs on the head, and shaping the hair in a certain way may be a violation of bona. So they point all three surim that are real issues when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos. So how do they get around it? They say, well, it's not bona because it already has the basic shape and you're just shaping it further. So maybe that's a heter. Maybe. That's a maybe. And in terms of the others, you just have to be really careful. They can't play with the constantly and certainly can't squeeze it out. So that's in terms of the curly pace. And the last thing we'll close is the pace behind the ears. Again, look at the Marma Komis and at the outline. I just mentioned quickly, some of the Israeli poskim had problems with payas behind the ears because they felt it was like tucking tzitzis in the pants, where you're embarrassed of the mitzvah and you're trying to hide the mitzvah. And they felt that it's a chutz la'aretz type of thing. This idea of payas behind the ears is a chutz la'aretz thing where Jews are embarrassed to go around with payas, so they hide it behind their ears. But in Eretz Yisrael, you shouldn't do such a thing. And other poskim say, you're not hiding it from anybody if it's behind your ears. Everyone can see that it's behind your ears. And it's just a matter of convenience. When you're driving in your convertible, if it's not behind your ears, it will get all over the place. So it's purely a matter of convenience. Okay, there are a lot of marmakos we didn't go through. You could look through the outline on your own.